More info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Hope everybody is doing well. I know we are here on the Miller's Edge. It's a victory Monday, so I think everybody should be doing pretty good. I know everybody's got personal stuff and whatnot, but in terms of the sports world, I hope that everybody is enjoying themselves. Got another big one this weekend. We've got plenty of time to dive into that, so we'll be patient. We're not going to do too much on Oklahoma today. We'll do a little bit, but probably just a very, very, very early preview. But we've got plenty of other things to dive into today, so we'll focus on that. We've got to break down this Alabama-LSU game, 20-9 victory over the Tigers. A lot to talk about, Reed. A lot to talk about. Definitely some good. A little bit of bad. I wouldn't say there's too much ugly, but if I had to choose one thing that I would say ugly, I think we all can probably guess what that might be. We'll dive into that here in a minute. And plus, there's something else that came up on Twitter over the weekend. And I basically ended up responding to a video that was going around, just offering just a quick little observation, and definitely got a lot of, you know, attention on that. And I had some thoughts I wanted to add to it. Twitter, you can't really type, at least for me, if you pay for it, you can add a whole bunch into one tweet. But I was like, you know what, let me just save it for Monday. That way I can actually speak. Because I know Ricky had a lot to say. I know Tia had a lot to say. Everybody had a lot to say about it. So we'll probably end up getting that out the way first, just because, I don't know, I feel like we just need to go ahead and get that out of the way before we dive into stuff. Because I'll probably end up forgetting if we don't. But we definitely will break down this game. Did it late Saturday night on the post-game show that I do with Greg Robertson on the network. We talked about it, so I'll bring up a lot of stuff we talked about then. But I've also had time since then to go back and watch some things. Now, I haven't been able to really, I know everybody's got this burning question, what's going on with the running game? I know everybody's going to be asking me that today. I haven't had a chance to watch the All-22 version of our offense. I watched it on like the highlights on YouTube. I watched the All-22 of our defense, but I haven't been able to see that specifically. And that's what I wanted to see, but I haven't been able to pull it up yet. So that said, I'll tell you my initial thoughts based off of the TV copy, right? Going back and watching that. But I will say I'll know a lot more when I can go watch the All-22 and get that end zone angle. But I'm already forming kind of, you know, what was going wrong with that. I know I'm jumping the gun, but I'm trying to beat you guys to the punch because I already know that that question is coming based off of how we played Saturday. But again, we're going to dive into all that. I'll give you my thoughts. I'll give you my good, bad, and ugly. Point out some big positives in the game, right? Because there definitely was a lot of that. I see you guys dropping some names in the chat. There's definitely some bright spots. And let me just go ahead and say this, because speaking of Twitter, speaking of this game, this one marries the two. Shout out to Kane Womack and this defense, man. I put out a tweet after the game. And again, I'm doing all this on our page. I don't even use my personal social media hardly at all. But you can follow us at the Miller's Edge. I use that because I'm trying to get that up and going. If you guys haven't followed us there, man, make sure you guys check us out. I'm sure we'll have new listeners from social media today on the show. So if you are, welcome in. But that being said, I put out a tweet after the game, and I'm going to dive more into it. But just wanted to tip my hat to Kane Womack in this defense, right? Let's just call a spade a spade. Week one really was a whole poor performance by the team. But me being a defensive guy, former edge guy here, all that stuff, I was highly disappointed, right? You guys heard my whole thing after week one with how we looked. Since then, this defense has done a complete 180. I'm not saying we're perfect. Again, I analyze things. You guys know I'm completely honest. I'm well aware we still are due for a couple explosives, especially on the ground, each game. I'm understanding that, yes, it took some time for our pass rush to get going, but what I do want to point out is, you know, Coach Womack, he got a lot of criticism, especially earlier on in the season, by the media, by fans, really the defense in general. And not saying that everybody was like that, but you guys saw it. You guys see the noise. He sees the noise. I just want to, just like I always give credit where it's due, want to give credit to him and this defense just because the last few weeks, man, last few games, I should say, they've been playing so much better. And I think what really impresses me the most is the fact that so many of the things that were challenges for us early on, a lot of the issues that I had questions for that I wanted to see change and wanted to see responses for, we've been gradually seeing that. And they've gotten better and better. And it kind of reminds me of last season. It was kind of similar to the defense kept getting better as the season went on. So I guess it's not too much of a shocker, but at the same time, like, it really has been impressive, right? The biggest question marks going into the season about, like, the pass rush, right? We finally started to answer that. We had issues stopping the run, right? And I'll go more into detail here in a minute, but doing little things like the run stunts that we're doing, they've been really effective. And I'll try to pull up some clips. I know we got to be careful with it on here, but, and I can show you guys where we're doing different little run stunts and slants that were very effective at, you know, establishing that line of scrimmage, you know, forcing negative plays and so forth. So small details like that. Another issue that was, you know, definitely plaguing us earlier on, linebacker play. Right. I was even critical about that because it's important. You have to have good linebacker play, especially here in Alabama. That's what we're known for. Right. That has been so much better. I want to say, I think it was Deontay Lawson that led us in tackles. But Nakai Hill-Green, if you go and watch the tape, man, that guy's been playing some really good football. We all saw him punching the football out. Shout out the peanut drill. Right. Peanut, tell him to be proud of that. But he's just been flying around. Justin Jefferson, same thing. You know, their ability to read and react, dissect these screens. LSU ran a whole bunch of screens, which was expected. Struggling offensive line, you're trying to move the pocket, get the ball out quick. Utilize the screen game to try to help protect that struggling offensive line. We played it really well. And those linebackers, man, they've just looked much better over the second course of this season than they did the first. So what I'm getting at is, man, defense really, in the last couple games, if we're honest, it's really been because of those guys. You know, I know the offense, you know, found a way during against South Carolina to end the game. But let's just call a spade. I mean, that was a hell of a defense performance against South Carolina. Same thing with LSU. Hell of a job keeping those guys out of the end zone. Only field goals. If you don't do that, it could be a whole different story because offense struggled in this past game, right? Not saying we were terrible, but we did not perform our best by any means. Defense sometimes being put in some tough spots and they respond the way they need to. I don't want to jump the gun. I already did. I already kind of gave a big defensive breakdown, but let's do this before I get ahead of myself. Let's hit our timeout so we can stay on schedule. I'll go more into detail on the defense here in a minute. I'll talk about the offense. We'll talk about Ty, all these things, the running game. We got that plan. Plus, we got to dive into the whole conversation about the tweet from this weekend, too. I definitely want to address that and more. And I want to hear from you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. You guys can call in. Give me your thoughts. Let me know what you thought about this game. And you can always drop it here in the comment section on the stream right here on YouTube. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Presented by the Good Feet Store.
If you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremvaya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremvaya.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny, cold and windy this afternoon. The high only at 41. For tonight, a very significant freeze. The sky clear, the low 23. And a warming trend begins tomorrow. A good supply of sunshine, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. And I'll tell you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, because make sure you guys sign up for that challenge, right? Might as well do it now while I'm talking about it. GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Sign up if you want a chance to win free cash. I know for a fact they'll be rolling it out this weekend 100%. You've got Oklahoma coming into town, but so is the Good Feet Store with their Good Feet Kick for Cash challenge. GoodFeetKickForCash.com. You go sign up right there. It's easy. All you need is a name and an email address. Literally, it's as easy as that. So what are you waiting for? Who don't want free cash? You just got to make some field goals. And obviously, that's not the easiest thing to do. We missed one. They missed one. But maybe you guys are better than D1 kickers. So maybe you guys can go prove that with the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge. Sign up right now on their website. Or if you don't feel like doing that, which I don't know why you wouldn't, but you need some help with some pain that you're dealing with, make sure you go visit the Good Feet Store. And that is located in Midtown Village. Again, that's a Good Feet Store, premium arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. That is the Good Feet Store. Reed, are you active on X? I know you've got Instagram, Ryan. I follow you on Instagram, but do you have X by chance?
I do, but I'm hardly on it, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm there. I'm just there because, you know, I try to keep up with media. The main person I have some notifications on for it, especially like Pete Nakos, On3, you know, Rivals. Mainly the recruiting. I guess that's mainly what I use X for. But besides that, I'm not on it too much.
Fair enough. The reason I ask is I want to get this out of the way real quick. So we've got the LSU breakdown we want to get to. We got coaches, press conference we got to listen to, which we'll probably end up pushing at least one, maybe even two of those to tomorrow. But I want to get this out of the way. So, and this was circulating real quick, and this won't be long, guys, but I just wanted to hit this real quick. This was circulating recently. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the clip is basically Terrion Arnold. He was on his teammates' podcast, St. Brown podcast, right? He was talking about the whole situation with the green mouthpieces. And I know this is, maybe you guys don't realize this, but this is like an old story, right? It's definitely an old story. But it came back up because while he was on this podcast, they asked him about the green mouthpieces. And I got the clip right here. I'll just let you guys listen to it. Then I'll explain a little bit further.
Well, I don't know why all of them wear it, but mine started back in college. You know, college at Bama. I'm just like, man, you know, we on that slime. Like,
was BB wearing a green mouthpiece in at Bama too?
In college, yeah.
So you got
green mouthpiece? No. If you want to take it that far, then
I'm just saying, who started it?
I don't really know who started it. Like, it just
it oh,
just
that means it wasn't happened. You. If you started, you would know it was you.
I won't even know. I won't even take credit for that. I won't say started. But like,
okay.
Back at Bama, I remember like me and Kool-Aid used to wear them, and then like nobody noticed, but like we had like Bo Scarborough, whatever his name is. Like Bo, shout out to Bo. That's my he a cool dude, but like he rubbed me the wrong way. Like, yeah, came back. He had came back after we something had happened.
He rubbed me the wrong way.
Nah, he did. Cause like we cool now. But like when he came back to Bama, we was all in the weight room, and You could tell like Coach Saban or somebody had him come and talk to us. And when he came and talked to us, he like, y'all over here at Bama, y'all wearing green mouthpieces. We ain't green. Like in my head, I'm like, you gonna be direct? Like it's only 3 people that wear green mouthpieces. Like, say it. Like, go ahead and be direct. And then after that, that's when I like gained respect for Bryce, because we had one in the locker room. Bryce was like, "Man, we all wearing green mouthpieces this week." I was like, "I bet I'm on that." Like,
so there you go. So that was the clip that was circulating. So I don't know if you guys have seen that. And again, this is old. Let me preface by saying that, but the clip's not old. This is recent. But the story he's talking about, that's back to 2022. And I don't know if you guys remember the whole thing, but you know, Bo was. And I'm not sure if he's still doing. I know Bo's at West Alabama with Coach Cochran, but you know, he does stuff with, you know, the Bama Center podcast there with Justin, those guys. And there's that big rant he had talking about it. And again, if anybody knows like the standard stuff that he was referencing in there, it wasn't so much the color of the mouthpiece. I know he starts and I'll play his clip in a minute too. Him saying like, you know, the green mouthpiece are driving him nuts. And this is the point that people kept missing, because everybody, even I was seeing in the responses, were missing the point. Everybody's like laughing, like thinking the joke is, wow, all that over some green mouthpieces. But the funny thing was, like, anybody that immediately thinks that or was tweeting that, you're making yourself look like a fool, because that's proving Bo's point, right? Because the whole thing was, it's not the color of you listening to what he's saying. It was because us as players that played here, it didn't matter if it sounded silly, like a green mouthpiece. If you had the mentality, though, that, oh, it doesn't matter, it's just a green mouthpiece, ironically, Reed, and people aren't going to like this, but it's just true, you guys are the same people that Coach Saban would have hated. Like, he hated people that had that mindset of, oh, it's just this. Like, if he, like, that was the whole, like, that was what we were built on. Was like, all these other teams, you know what I'm saying? Like, they did that stuff, but we didn't. And, like, that was what we took pride in. Like, that's why Bo mentioned, like, the black cleats. That's why Bo mentioned, like, for us, like, we couldn't wear jewelry. Like, the same people saying that about, oh, it's just green mouthpieces thing, they probably would have said the same thing. Oh, wearing a chain underneath your pads doesn't do anything. No, it doesn't. But a rule is a rule. If we had a chain on or even earrings, we couldn't wear earrings. That was a team rule. If Coach Cochran saw that, he would take that off. Like, he literally would make you take it off. It was a rule. And whether it was about uniformity or whatever the case, rules were rules. Just like we had a rule that there was no hats in the building. That went for coaches, players, whatever. If you walked around the building, you had to take a hat off, right? Like, there was no questions about it. Like, someone would tell you to take a hat off. So that's what Bo was trying to say with the whole thing. So what happened was that he ends up going up there. First, he met with Coach Saban, right? He was in his office. He met with him because Coach cared a lot about what former players thought. He cared about, like, their feelings. He used to say literally all the time, like, if we had a bad game, he would bring up the fact, like, man, you know, I've had this former guy reach out. I've had this guy reach out. You know, they're disappointed, right? And he always, like, he really took to heart, like, how the former players felt. Like, that was a big deal to him. So long story short, Bo was talking with him, talked about all that stuff, then ends up going and speaking to the guys in the weight room. And, you know, I'm not going to go too deep in this because I know we only got limited time. We got to get back on the breakdown. But what happened was, and I'll say this, I wasn't there when he did it. But to be fair, the way he went about it definitely was, you know, tough, right? Like, he went out there, he gave them an earful. The way he addressed it was how he wanted to go about it, right? And I will say it definitely did rub some people wrong. I mean, I even talked to people that were in there that, not players, they even said, like, yeah, man, the way he kind of did it probably, you know, didn't really sit well with the guys. Fair. I understand that. What I'm getting at was, the reason I tweeted and what I tweeted was for a couple of things, but basically what I tweeted was, I said, for what it's worth, 2022, Bo met with Coach Saban and was given permission to address them. They took it personally. They rebelled against former players. They missed the CFP. And again, if I had like an unlimited amount of thing, I would explain in further detail. And so it's probably my fault. The tweet's short. It kind of comes off like I'm just saying, oh, they rebelled. They missed the playoff. Like, I'm almost like, I'm excluding a whole bunch of stuff. But I was just trying to get the gist in of what I was trying to explain. And the whole point of me doing the tweet was, 2017, we literally had the same situation, like almost identical, except it was in a team meeting room. And this is really why I did the tweet, because no one knows the story, or at least they never talk about it. Reuben Foster literally did the same. And I'll call him and get Reuben on the show, and he'll tell you guys. Reuben came back, like, when I was playing, it was my junior year. Reuben came back, I'm sure he talked with Coach Saban before. He came back in, he sat in front of us in the meeting room, and it started off kind of like, you know, like, no, you know, I've been watching y'all boys, this and that, and third. And I'll be honest, I don't remember if it was because somebody asked, like, why did he do it? I don't think it was after a specific game. I'm trying to think, because the first game we went out there and we beat Florida State and all that stuff. I can't remember. It could have been maybe even in the spring or something. I'm not 100% sure on the timeline. I'm forgetting that part. But it had to be the 2017 season, because it was when he came back. And basically his message was, this isn't how we do this. This isn't the standard. It wasn't about mouthpieces, but it was basically saying, like, we weren't basically living up to the foundation of what everybody else did, like, before us, and we knew better. And when I tell you, because I heard people talking about, oh, well, it's about the message, and it's about how you do it. Like, oh, well, you guys, he did not just say, hey, bro, we don't do this here. This dude, when I tell you, Reuben literally pointed at people individually, MF'd us, cussed us out by name, put us on the spot. I'm talking about, like, there was no, like, hey, bro, you got to do... No, hell no. And all I said was, and the rest of the tweet was, 2017, Ruben did the same. Custin called us out. We respected and owned it, and we went on to win a natty that year. Just saying. Again, and let me just say this too, because I'm seeing all these clowns in the comments on here too, saying, not here, but on the tweet, like this is like politics, like gang politics or something, like, you ain't P, bro. Why are you bringing this to the internet? The way the old heads are handling, like, bro, bringing what to the internet? The podcast is on the internet. There is no beef. I just saw Terry on like a month ago. There's no beef with anybody. The point of the tweet was not about the color of the mouthpieces, not like some beef, but there's no beef between former players. Like, these people think this is some, like, some video game or something, bro. What the point of the tweet was saying, you saw how one team responded. And I'm not saying that's the only factor. It's evident that, yes, there was other things. And people keep bringing up like, oh, well, they lost the national championship because of those injuries. That was the year before. I'm talking about 2022. Somebody tried to tell me, oh, well, Bryce got hurt and he didn't come back right. Bro, Bryce's game back against Tennessee, he threw for the most yards that season. It was like 400-something yards. You're talking about a team that had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and one of the best defensive players ever to play at Alabama, Will Anderson, and a whole boatload of other talent. It boils down to the mindset. That team, unfortunately, didn't have the right mindset. I'm not saying they still couldn't have won. There's still other factors involved. They had holes. They had issues with the offensive line. but the mindset, in my opinion, it held them back. Right? That's just my opinion versus the way we respond. Like, our mindset in 2017 was a lot different. So that was basically the main gist of it. Reed, does that make sense to you? Do you understand like the message of what I was trying to say with that?
Yeah, I think you hit it spot on. And it's actually crazy because I hadn't heard of the story. But I can like at first when it sounded like how you were referring to Bo, you know, how it's like, why are we wearing green mindset, like mouthpieces? It was kind of like, you know, I kind of had that mindset at first, but then I was trying to think of like, why is it so important? And then I was like trying to think, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I think I get why, you know, he's trying to emphasize up to that standard.
Right. It's all about the message, right? Like, so like anybody that doesn't understand that, like, respectfully, Coach Saban would not like you. Like, I'm just being honest with you, because I mean, like, that literally was his whole thing. It's all about uniformity, the team, the standard, buying into the process. You could say the same thing, whether it's the jewelry or the cleats. Oh, why does it matter if we wear black cleats? Well, it's just that's the message that we're trying to send as a team. We're trying to be one. That's the standard. So that's all that was. Like I said, it really isn't that deep. There's nothing to it. I just feel like I need to explain that because for some reason, like, people couldn't grasp that. I see people like laughing, like, oh, we're talking about mouthpieces. But ironically, it was those, you know, type of little things that added up, just like the teams that I was on. I played in four straight national championships in a row, four straight. I won two and I lost two. My senior year, when we lost to Clemson, we ran the table during the regular season. And this is embarrassing for me to say because I was a captain that year. But I tried to do everything in my power because I felt us slipping away from basically what we set out to do towards the end. Like, I can sense it because, again, that was my fifth year. I've been through it. I know what it takes to win a championship. And I know how it looked when we lost championships. I know the little things that added up. And that year, when we got our ass whooped by Clemson at San Francisco, everybody's mind was already ahead because we just beat Oklahoma and everybody hyped that game up. And Kyler Murray, there was a lot of emotion. We beat them. And all we had was Clemson left. And we had not lost this year. I'm talking about, like, I mean, we had so many dudes on that team, so much talent. I mean, we were blowing teams out. I mean, it was, bro, we were like that in 2018. But I knew, I could just sense it. When we were gearing up to go play Clemson in San Francisco, our mind was not where it needed to be. The little details started to slip. And in our players only meeting, I harped on it. I said, guys, we have a week left. Forget girlfriends, forget agents, because that around that time, agents start sniffing around. You're in California. Forget all the extra stuff that's out there in California. We got a whole bunch of Southern boys that have never hardly been out on the West Coast. Too many distractions, and you could just sense it. And I tried to harp on it. And unfortunately, you guys saw the result. The reason I tell that part is because, again, it all boils down to detail. So I hate to say it, if I just explain all this and you still are caught up on saying, oh, it's just green mouthpiece and laughing. Again, that says everything I need to know about your own character and that you don't understand how to be successful, right? Because the true successful people in this world, they care about details. They have a standard. And so that's all it is. And again, there's no knock on anything. Like, they're, how do I explain this? It's not like them not winning one, that has no effect on me. Like, I walked my walk here. I did my part. You know what I'm saying? Like, we wanted the best for those guys. It wasn't for us. And the reason you got a lot of former guys, people think it's like former guys, like if anybody makes a comment. And again, I don't hardly do it. I stay out of the way. But I understand like what Damian and other guys are talking about. Because we care. Like, people think it's like older guys trying to like complain or this and that. And it's like, bro, the older guys, we did what we wanted to do. We won national championships. All of us went on to play in the NFL, right? Like it has nothing to do with anything, but we put a lot of blood, sweat, tears, effort, all that into building something. Like, we care about that being upheld. And when you're seeing the little details that you know can take away from that and keep you from playing at that level, it hurts. You get what I'm saying? Like, again, if you're small-minded, you're not going to understand that. And respectfully, like, without you actually being like a true part of it, like, no offense, I'm not talking about fans. I'm saying like actually living it. You're not going to, like, you're probably not going to really, it's not going to resonate. And just being completely honest, the mouthpiece color is not going to resonate. The no jewelry is not going to resonate. The hands behind the line is not going to resonate. You know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff's not like, but that's what made us different. LSU, they probably had hands in line. They probably wore jewelry. They probably said, oh, they're just green mouthpieces. We didn't do that. That's why we had a dynasty. Yes, we had good players. Yes, we had good coaching. But I'm telling you, what really separated us was those fine details, and we had guys enforcing it, whether it was Cochran, whether it was our players. It was a collective effort. And so that's pretty much all it is. Again, I'm going to get back to the breakdown. But I was just trying to explain that because, like I said, even like, love Tia, love Ricky, but they like give me pushback on. I'm like, guys, y'all are missing the point. And I think they understand. I think people really understand. But at the end of the day, one thing I learned, bro, is people only hear what they want to hear. Like, if you go back and you watch Bo's video, like, yes, he's initially talking about the mouthpiece, but then he goes on to literally go into detail and elaborate on all the little details that he's referring to. That's literally what it was. Now, again, two things can be true. The way he went about it might not have been the best, at least for them, maybe. But all I'm saying is the whole point behind this is Ruben did the exact same thing, and we didn't respond how they responded. And this is the last thing I'll add before we hit the break, and we'll get back to the breakdown. I had people laughing, saying, wow, rebelling now is wearing green mouthpieces. Again, small-minded person, somebody that doesn't understand what greatness looks like, and that's probably why they're at where they're at in their life. Their response was not, oh, man, forget that, man. Like, he was tripping. That's one thing. Their response by their leadership was to say, oh, that's how he feels? Not just him, but some of the other former players that made comments. Their response literally was, we're going to buy the whole team green mouthpieces. And if you don't know what the definition of rebel is, go and look it up. It's basically going against the grain, going against the norm. It's like going against a standard or what someone is requesting or asking, whatever. That was their response. The whole team went, they got green mouthpieces for everybody. And they came up with like a slogan. I can't remember exactly what it was, but basically it was like, if you're not with us, F you. Or if you're not in the locker room, F you. Which is, again, like a subtle way of basically saying, we don't care if it's even former players. F you. If you're not behind us. So that was really what all went down. And again, I didn't say anything at the time. I didn't, even now, it is what it is. Like, I'm just adding my two cents, and I'm just trying to explain really kind of the whole thing behind it. Because I think a lot of people just see, oh, one guy's mad, was mad about Green Mouthpieces, whatever. And the last thing I'll add is the whole thing about Damian, what he tweeted saying, like, this is why guys don't reach out as much. I'm just being honest with you when I say this. Guys nowadays, they do have more egos than they probably did before. Not saying we didn't have, there's a lot of guys with egos, but now with NIL, whatever the case may be, things are a little bit different. And while I've had a lot of good, I guess, experiences, you know, reaching back out, pouring into guys, talking with, you know, some of the guys and all that, it's been good on my front. There has been times where I'll be honest with you, like if even if I'm just up there, it don't matter really who it is. Like sometimes these guys have egos. They're not really hearing it. They're not hearing it. It doesn't matter who it is. And the same thing, you see people comment on Damian's thing like, oh, that's because it's you. You know, you didn't do anything. That's the craziest. Like, bro, you're talking about a guy that played in four straight national championships. I mean, one of the, you know, better backs to come through here, played in the league, retired, you know, due to injuries after several years, third round pick for a running back, which is really good. And you're talking about, oh, well, they didn't want to hear from, like, what are we talking about? Like, with us, it didn't matter who it was. Bro, we're not talking about the league. What people do after they leave here means nothing. We're talking about the standard here at Alabama. If you go on and have a great pro career, great, but who cares? How about just have respect for the guy before you that did the same thing and if it's has been where you want to be, whether that's winning a championship or going and playing the pro. It shouldn't matter if they played 1 year, 10 years. If they played here and they walked the walk and were in the same shoes as you, just respect it. That's all we're saying. But at the end of the day, I mean, like, you know, generations are different. So that was all that was. And don't even get me started on the whole Damian thing because... I said, look, and I know it sounds like I'm just going hard for my guys, which, of course, I'm always going to respect our guys, bro. I mean, like, yeah, we bled and sweat and all that stuff together. But, Reed, one thing I don't understand is after week one, even last year, we had fans literally going out of their way and talking about fire the coaching staff, doing all this, this, that, and the third about how, I don't know, like basically they said all these comments. You got a guy like Damian who cares about this program. And his job is to be an analyst, to be entertaining. And if he goes on TV and he, again, he's not lying. I mean, what he's talking about are real issues. He just expresses it in a way that, you know, is very, I don't know, flavorful, you can say. How is that different than what the fans say? I feel like it's just kind of hypocritical. Then everybody, you know, teams up on Damian. Which I get it. I mean, you probably don't want to hear a former guy necessarily, you know, being brutally honest like that and kind of sometimes taking a step far. But how is that different than all the fans that sit there and tweet, fire the coaches after a bad game? Or like, or ridicule a player because he had a bad performance? I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of a double standard, man. It's just interesting. But that being said, we already got that out of the way. Now we're about to go back to the breakdown. We're going to talk about this Alabama-LSU game. We got the coaches' press conference, all that good stuff. And to be clear, let me just finish on this note. This was just me just talking about a tweet. There's no issues, no beef, no nothing. I just was trying to further explain because you can't do all that in a tweet. I'd love to have you guys respond if you want to, but don't worry. We're getting back to the breakdown. We come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Expert.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Again, I know that was way longer than I thought, but to be just because I see people still commenting in the section, like, again, that's an old thing. There's no beef, no, like, anything. It's just a response. I can call any of these dudes and just tell them the same thing. There's no anything. So just so you guys know, I don't want to, it might sound like that. It's just an explanation, right, of any and just that stuff. But anyway, we can move on though, because unfortunately, people are only going to hear what they want to hear, and they're going to see what they want to see, read what they want to read, and so forth. I'll answer questions if you guys got more questions on that, but we can move on. Now I know we got to, since I went so long on the other thing, I'm trying to think in terms of where we're at. Do I have enough time to do this quick breakdown? We got to be out by what time, Reed? Let's see, 56. All right, boom, let's go. We got 7 minutes right here. I'll give a quick breakdown. I already talked a lot about the defense anyway. Back to the LSU game. 20-9 victory over LSU. Under lights, night game. Great environment. Let's talk about it. I already talked about the defense a little bit, but let me just piggyback real quick and we'll just give a quick refresher. Then we'll move on to offense and so forth. Biggest thing for me, defense, man, very solid performance, right? Led by Bray Hubbard. I thought he played great. Kicked things off with the, you know, strip on the running back. We didn't recover it, but still, man, just setting the tone, man. He was a ball hawk, diagnosing screens, blowing up that one. Should have, he left some money on the table. Should have had an interception in the red zone, goal line, wherever, whatever it was. I'm drawing a blank, but again, great performance by Bray, man. He's just been really impressive flying around and doing his thing out there. Another guy, Hill Green, we talked about him, you know, just been playing so much better, man. Him, Justin Jefferson, and Deontay Lawson, who I think led us in tackles. Linebacker play was really good in this football game, man. They were tasked, you know, they look, at LSU, we knew they were going to try to just throw some wrinkles at us. A lot of screen games, a lot of throws behind line of scrimmage. That makes guys have to turn and run, play sideline to sideline while you're also trying to, you know, read your keys. Our guys did a nice job with that, so shout out to them. Guys up front, man, continued to do a nice job. I thought they were going to have some opportunities in this game. With the quick game and screen game, weren't able to really just pin our ears back like we really would have hoped, maybe, but it makes sense, right? And LSU's smart for that. You know, getting, you know, Nussmeier out of the pocket, rolling him out, quick game, trying to protect that offensive line. But when we did have opportunities, we made them count. I think we had 3 sacks in the day, 7 tackles for loss. Yonze Pierre, man, take a bow. Man, we said, hey, we need somebody to step up off the edge. And he's done that, right? Ended up with 2 sacks in the game. One huge strip sack to pretty much, you know, put a wrap on it. And he continues to just play with his like his hair's on fire, man. And I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. Let's see what else I got on here. London Simmons, talking about guys up front, man. Man, that dude, if you turn on the tape, he's just so impressive. A guy that we talk about all the time. You know, 3-star guy, wasn't really expected to have a big impact this year. And boy, has he really impressed. I mean, he's playing some damn good football. And, you know, he's showing that he's, you know, defensive line play is really starting to come along, which is really important. We've needed that. Let me just say this. I know LSU has not run the ball well this year, but shout out to our guys stopping the run. I think it was like 86 yards rushing, but that's 37 on one run, one explosive run. You take that away, you see what the numbers are, right? So it all boils down. These explosive runs typically always kind of, you know, add into that category, which, I mean, again, everybody has explosive runs that add in there. But really, I mean, 37, take that away. I mean, that's pretty much holding them to 50 yards on the ground on like 20-something attempts minus that explosive run. So really, really nice job there. And part of the reason for that was, I talked about it, shout out to Kane Womack and, you know, Freddie and Jamie and those guys. A lot of run stunts, a lot of, you know, slants and movements up front. Doing a really nice job of you know, just disrupting line of scrimmage, right? A lot of just loopers and things like that help create negative plays in this game by the guys up front. So I thought it was a really strong performance. The guys in the back end did a nice job as well when they were targeted. So really good performance by the defense. I think most importantly, you know, 3 field goals, keeping them out of the end zone, always standing tall when we need it, right? When they're put in some tough positions, defense continues to play great. Offense, a little bit of a different story. Sluggish performance. I know a lot of people look at Ty's performance, and here's the thing, what I'll say about Ty's performance. Was it his best? No. Was it his worst? No. Just some little things that we need to get cleaned up, and he's got to get some help too, right? I mean, the guy's playing with a lot of pressure. He was 21-35, 277 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. He did have that strip sack. But to be fair, man, the guy's literally working with absolutely no running game right now. And I think what's happening is he's kind of putting a lot on himself. He's trying to really, not necessarily force things, but like he's trying to pick up some of that slack where, you know, whether it's the offensive line or the running game just not really being there. And I think that's probably playing a little bit of a role in it. And he might just be off a little bit. His accuracy, especially some of those shots down the field, it's just a tad off. It's not like he's missing these guys by much. That can be cleaned up. I'm not worried about that. But I wanted to just to be fair, right? I mean, would I call it a great performance by Ty? No, it wasn't great. But he had some damn great throws in this game. Missed on a couple here and there. timing just a little, you know, at times at all. But really, man, if you think about it, I talked about this on the post-game show with Gray. I think part of it, too, was just he set the standard so high for himself. I mean, if you would have told me another quarterback from another team was 21-35 or 277, one touchdown, missed on a couple throws, especially deep, nobody really would be complaining. But I think the fact that Ty's been so damn clean and accurate and solid this season, that's why we pay a little bit more attention to it. But again, he's got to have help. When you don't have a running game, we've talked about this, it puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I'm looking at these numbers right here. You got Daniel Hill, 7 carries, 21 yards. Jam Miller, 8 carries for 13 yards, only 1.6 average. Not good, man. Like, we've got to have more. And I know, like, we've talked about, okay, well, we're using the extension of the running game. We're finding ways to line Jeremy Bernard in the backfield, right? We're get him on the jet sweep or get him on the end around, some misdirection stuff. That's not going to cut it. And one thing that bothers me is it's like almost, you know, the running game is not where it needs to be when we literally have to do tricks and gimmicks on like short yardage situations. You do it one time, that's one thing. But like literally, like we're doing tricks and gimmicks almost with all these short yardage situations. That 4th-and-1, man, Jaden Roberts got blown up. Jam tries to bounce to the outside. We don't convert. I mean, from what I've seen, and I'll dive more into this in the second hour, with our running game, man, like it's just like you've got like 3 guys, you know, doing a good job getting pushed, and you got 1 or 2 guys that don't, 1 guy that just doesn't climb back. Another situation, the back doesn't hit the hole how he should, or I mean, it's just always like 1, maybe 2 guys. And I hate to say it, but speaking about the whole, the rant about the mouthpiece and stuff like that, that's why we used to harp on the little details, man, because little things matter. That's what separates good teams from great and great teams from being elite. It's always little details. It's a game of inches. And so that's got to be better. That was probably, if I had to pick the ugly, it was just our running game, man. That was a point of emphasis during the bye week. I was expecting us to really come out there and really establish that, knowing it's LSU, it's a physical game. Way that people are talking about, you know, the practices, hey, it's supposed to be, you know, we've been getting after it. But we didn't really see that. Now, to be fair, LSU, they didn't just bring pressure on, you know, third downs. I mean, they were blitzing, you know, on early downs as well. Some of those on run plays, and that plays a role in it too. But still, even the times where they didn't, we didn't execute the way we needed to. And that's got to be better. There's no doubt about it. In terms of them blitzing, I thought we actually picked up some of those pressures decent for the most part. Sometimes we didn't, which it happens, but pass pro wasn't really the biggest issue, really, not by any. If anything, pass pro was actually decent. I mean, probably actually pretty good, I should say. But the running game, man, just not there. And we got to figure something out offensively, because you're about to play Oklahoma team that's, you know, got a really good defense, more balanced. They can definitely, you know, have success offensively. Not great, but they've got the ability. And to me, it's causing some concern looking ahead to this weekend. A couple other things I'll hit on, but we got to hit a timeout due to a little early because we had to combine breaks. We'll do all that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's.
3-8070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070, located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live Well Primary Care. It's time.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
Former NFL tight end Rob Gronkowski is set to sign a ceremonial one-day contract with the New England Patriots on Wednesday, it was announced, so he can retire as a Patriot. Gronk played 9 seasons for the organization and won 3 Super Bowls. He says the decision comes at the request of a friend of his that just recently passed. Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen set the franchise's all-time receiving mark in Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. With Antonio Gates in attendance, Keenan Allen caught his 966th pass reception on a play that Allen claims he drew up himself for coach Jim Harbaugh. Raiders lineman Jackson Powers Johnson suffered an ankle injury that will land him on injured reserve and could potentially end his season. Commanders defensive lineman
Green Specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so, man, it's been an eventful one, which I knew it was going to be. Like I said, had to bring up the whole tweet from this weekend because I knew there was plenty I just wanted to elaborate on. We did that. I know we've got plenty of people that want to discuss it, and we can go back to that too, but I definitely wanted to get into the nitty-gritty. We needed to break this game down, which I just did. And I'm not going to do like I used to, try to spend like 30 minutes breaking all this stuff down, especially if I don't have the tape right here. I'll save that because we can dive into it some more. But, I mean, we all saw it, right? And I feel like I pretty much got everything out that I needed to talk about. You know, Ty, his performance, the running game or lack of, I should say. Talked about defensively, Deontay Lawson leading the team in tackles with 9. Bray Hubbard flying around. Doing a damn good job. Same with Hill Green. All the linebackers, right, where linebacker play was great. Young guys stepping up across the defensive line. And secondary played well as well. I mean, really just a very solid performance by defense. So pretty much hit on anything. If there's anything you guys think I missed, man, feel free to bring it up and we can talk about it. So let's just do that now. 205-342-9904 is the number. Let me go over to our log real quick because we're going to the phone lines. Let's get Carson. We got Carson up first on the phone lines. Carson, welcome in.
What's up, Christian? How you doing this morning?
What's up, bro? I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I did want to just talk about the green mouthpiece thing because I know it sounded kind of like crazy. I'm kicking myself for saying cat out of the bag because I hate the language like about that. You know, like I get it. Like, because it's like it shouldn't be that, right? You know, it shouldn't be a whole conversation like a situation. It's just you're just talking about it, you know. And yeah. I get it, but you know, from personal experience, like I played for a very prestigious high school baseball program. Our coach won 3 state championships with 3 different high schools. We had 9 players go Division I, and I think 3 play in the majors from the year that for the 4 years that I was there. So a really good developmental baseball program. We had a guy get drafted in the first round. And when you talk about culture, I relate to it. Now it's not Alabama, like it's not high level Division I football, but I do relate to it. And we used to have, I mean, it was long blue socks and they would do sock check before every practice. If you and you didn't know when coach was going to get you, you know, he'd walk by and pull your pants up and pull your baseball pants up to see if you had your socks on. And if not, you were running poles. And yeah. And it's shirt tucked in. Nobody gets to wear anything crazy. If you had armbands that were different color than the team, or if you had chains on, you had to, he would let you wear one chain, but you had to tuck it in. And, you know, but stuff like that. And look, we won a state championship. Like like that culture, that accountability of being just a cog in the machine and just doing your part. I mean, it's so important to winning championships. And it's not putting yourself over the team, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, and that was the whole point I was just trying to drive home, that he was trying to drive home, right? Again.
Right.
How he went about it and their response, that was a little bit more into the whole thing. My whole thing was, I really was just trying to elaborate for the people that weren't getting that just from any of the tweets. They just kept saying, all they were seeing or reading was the whole mouthpiece thing. And I'm like, again, that's the whole surface level of, Right. And I'm like, again, if it was just a mouthpiece, he wouldn't care that much. It was because, like, I'm telling you guys, like, if y'all only knew, like, how much we harped on every little detail. And, like, we took pride in it because while it wasn't always fun, right, to get yelled at for having wrong socks. I mean, like, this one, even just in the games, the practices, like, this was in the weight room. Coach Cochran would kick you out of a lift. I'm not making this up. We would get kicked out of a lift if you came into workout and you had jewelry on. Normally, he would be like, take that off, right? You get a warning. If he had to keep doing, you're getting kicked out of the lift. You show up and you have the wrong shirt, shorts, kicked out of the lift. You don't have the proper socks on, kicked out of the lift. If your hands are not, like, I'm not, like, y'all think I'm, like, kidding when I say this stuff. When they said hands behind the line, if somebody's fingernail was on the white line, it, like, literally, if their fingernail was touching the line in some, that rep does not count. Like, when you talk about OD, it was like that. And when you realize, like, all right, we played in four straight national championships, what were some of those key ingredients? Like, yes, I know we had good players. Yes, I know we had some of the best coaches. But we also played against teams with really good players. And we also had instances where we fell short. And when we weren't having success, I'm telling you, we would have, like, moments where we would come together. We would say, guys are leaving trash in the locker room. Guys aren't doing what they need to do on those fronts. And we would address that ourselves. That's why I was trying to be clear, too. We weren't perfect, but we would address it. And the teams that I played on, that played in four straight championships, the teams that handled that part well, really pretty much had success. That's why I referenced 2017. I don't know if you guys remember, we lost, like, all our linebackers in week one. We had a boatload of injuries that year. We had a lot of things. It was an uphill battle. We lost to Auburn in the final game. But I'm telling you, that was one of the teams where you talk about, like, buying in, having, you know, just great leadership guys, being able to, you know, help get guys to really lock in that stuff. That was one of those. Yeah, and we saw what happened. Yeah, you know, had that accountability. Yeah. But then, like, like I mentioned, like 2018, again, it sucks to say this because I was a team captain. But the thing that I at least hold my head high about is I try to do everything in my power to harp on that. But again, I mean, it didn't always work that way. But I mean, and guys like Damien knows. I mean, Bo, we all know that. So that's where it comes from. I promise, it's not the color of the mouthpiece. It's not anybody starting. That's all it was. And again, this is all old. There's no beef because people keep making it seem like that, or like, oh well, this shouldn't be, bro. You're wrong for bringing this to the interview. Just address. There's nothing to address. That's why I was saying, like, even when I tweet, there's nothing for me to address with any of those guys. It's old news. It's all kumbaya. I just was pointing out, here's just a lesson that some people can kind of just, and for what it's worth, that's why I said for what it's worth, it's not meaning it's right or whatever. It's just, it's interesting how you literally had two of the exact same situations, two different results, and two different responses. Like, that's really all it was.
No, you're 100% right. But you know how it is. If anything goes on social media at all, everybody's got something to say about it. And, you know, it's just kind of the culture, you know. It's, you know, it's unfortunate that it turns into more than what it actually is when it's really nothing. But, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then that's all I was trying to say. Like, bro, like, those guys are, bro, they're having success. They're having, like, it's fine. It's no big deal. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, it literally was in that moment, it probably felt like it. Yeah, there was probably some tension or whatever. But like I said, bro, at the end of the day, bro, it's life, man. But you're right. Everybody's going to have an opinion. So,
yeah. Well, I do want to jump into the LSU game. I was dead wrong. Especially with the score prediction. I only gave us so many points because I thought that it would look better, you know, offensively. Defensively, man, lights out. I mean, really, when you kind of hit on everything that I was going to talk about, but I had the same thoughts, you know. Running game, something has to give. I mean, if you know, I've seen a lot of criticisms of Ty, and to me, it's just the opposite. I mean, that dude deserves a hug. I mean, I don't know why fans are saying, oh, Ty can't hit the deep ball. Ty is inconsistent, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, we're not in advantage situations. You know, like if every deep ball that you throw feels like a do or die, you're not doing something right on offense. Because, man, that dude just, he needs a hug, man. Because I know you can tell that, you know, he puts a lot of pressure on himself to do it the right way. And he's a great quarterback. And some of the stuff, he's making magic. He don't have any help. I mean, if you're getting 2 yards on the ground, what do you expect? Like, the kid can't be perfect on every single throw, but if you help him out, he can really, really look. I mean, because he's still looking great despite that. So, and we've seen him look better when we have had a running game. There's just some things that I thought it would be better coming out of the bye week, but my mind just starts going to where it probably shouldn't about the coaching staff, about Robert Gillespie, and it shouldn't go there. But, you know, I'm just like, man, we haven't been consistently running the football since Burns was the coach. And I don't know how big of a factor that plays into it. The offensive line's got to help out too. But I looked at some of the tape and there were some lanes open. You know, I didn't look at the, break it down on every single run, but some of the stuff that we got behind the line of scrimmage or just maybe like a 1 yard gain or something like that, there were running lanes open, man. And it is going to come back to bite us. If you can't put yourself in advantageous down and distance, we're seeing kind of the fatigue a little bit of it, where it's like you're in second and 10, you're in third and 9, you know, and when you're consistently doing that, you're putting so much stress on your quarterback, so much stress on your offensive line, because they're in obvious blitz situations, obvious pressure packages, and you're just playing the game on hard mode at that point. And it doesn't have to be that way. And look, the matchup is the matchup. LSU was able to play man defense behind some of these pressures. Mansur Delane, that kid's a really good corner. AJ Halsey is a really good DB. They got some jimmies on that team, and some spots that really present a challenge. And if we can't get something corrected, this is one of those things where you're going to come play against the team. If you make the playoffs or not, whatever. If you make the playoffs, you're going to run into a team that can do some of the same things, and it's going to haunt you. And so, it's tough.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's. I think you're seeing flashes of kind of what I've been kind of warning against over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
About not being able to run the football, because what happens, it's why I always say that, it makes you one-dimensional. You got a team like LSU where when they know you're going to start throwing the football, right, because you're not really having that success, they're pinning their ears back, they're getting aggressive, they're dialing up pressures. And what was the thing I said? If I'm a defensive corner, what am I going to do to Ty Simpson this offense? I'm going to blitz him.
Oh,
what has LSU done? What has South Carolina done? And I told you guys what would happen, and that's literally what's happening right
now.
Now, luckily, 100%. Our defense, has been able to kind of create a little bit of a cushion and provide some relief for us. But I'm telling you right now, there's only so long your defense can really kind of hold up like that. I mean, I know we're playing really good ball defensively, but it's only a matter of time until you meet a team. That's why I keep warning that a team like Oklahoma, even though I think there's teams that are better threats than that, but I'm just saying a team that has a really good defense that's aggressive, that could cause the issues that we've seen with our offense, but then also have the ability to stress our defense, where our defense might not be able to hold up as much as they've been doing, that's when we're going to run into issues. And that's why the little details, again, common theme here, we're talking about little details, running the football, right, being able to move the football down the field, not be one-dimensional, those things are going to be critical, especially when you talk about postseason play and you're playing against these better quality teams that are well-rounded as well. So we'll have to see. I mean, just going to be completely honest at this point. I don't necessarily – I know people like to turn their attention to the coaches. It's not always that. I mean, just like earlier, people were talking about, you know, Freddie at D-line for a while, and now D-line has been playing some really good – I mean, we didn't make a change there. The execution is just a lot better. The guys are playing better. We need better execution from our guys on offense. Brian Grubb is, again, I'm not saying he's perfect, but he does a good job, right? I mean, there's some times, I'm sure that things could probably be done a little bit different. But at the end of the day, man, he's a really good coordinator. And I'd argue, I mean, having him this year has made a whole hell of a lot of a difference compared to last year.
Yeah.
That said, the guys have to go out there. They've got to do it. They've got to execute the plays. And that's not on any coach. I mean, even with the backs, like when the backs don't have great vision, I guarantee you they're being coached to hit the holes, right? I mean, they're watching tape, but they've got to go out there and apply it and do it. So I got to hold the players a little bit accountable because, I mean, coaches aren't out there running around. They're not taking handoffs. They're not blocking guys. And so true. To me, the execution has to be better. Yeah. There is a situation where coaches are definitely in the wrong. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think right now it's more an execution thing. Execution, that falls on the players. So we'll see. Now, if execution's better, but they're being put in some dumb spots, then maybe we start turning our attention. But right now, I definitely would lean more towards execution. Carson, we got to hit a timeout, man. Appreciate you calling in, man. Always good to hear from you, bro.
Sounds good, man. Thank you for taking my call, buddy.
Yes, sir. Always, man. Be easy. Good deal. All right, we got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, I just got a quick little email, man, again, about the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge, right? Went well. I don't think the contestant made the kicks, but they still walked away with a gift from the Good Feet store. You got another chance this weekend. Go sign up right now, goodfeetkickforcash.com. Name and email is all you need, man. Get yourself a chance to go kick some field goals for some free cash. Listen to the Miller's Edge. Quick timeout.
Where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Select models with approved credit plus tax registration and fees. $16.67 per thousand. Finance for 60 months. E-delivery details expires month end.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny, cold and windy this afternoon. The high only at 41. For tonight, a very significant freeze. The sky clear, the low 23. And a warming trend begins tomorrow. A good supply of sunshine, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 42 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got a lot of stuff to cover, and I know we got the press conferences from today. We'll probably have to push those to tomorrow. Maybe we'll squeeze in Coach DeBoer's at the end of the show, but I want to keep on rolling on the phone lines. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Tristan, how are you today?
I'm good. Tommy, what's going on?
Not too much. Well, I haven't watched football this year in the SEC. Everybody's having a hard time learning football. I wish we did better, but for some reason, this is what the hand we dealt with. And when Kalen DeBoer went to the national championship game against Michigan, I think y'all discussed it last week. They was only averaging like 118 to 122 yards per game. And we were like, what, 114 before the LSU game? I'm pretty sure it's going to drop since we only rushed for 56 or 58. I watched game Saturday. A lot of teams didn't hardly get over 100 yards either. So, I mean, put some belly aches. We won the game. We cover. I mean, we beat LSU for the third time in a row. And guess what? The basketball team beat a top five team in the nation. Aren't we happy people? I am. Do I have to say it? Yes. But, you know.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think it boils down to, Tommy, just this is my thing. I don't think it's about not being happy we won. I think everybody is happy about that. I just think people, if you look at it from like an analysis standpoint, and you're trying to say, okay, yes, we won. Okay, let's look at what happened in the game, what transpired. I think it's very, at least from my perspective, again, I mean, like I have a radio show, I break down football, I do analysis, it's my job. It is concerning that we're not running the football well. If anything, it's actually kind of alarming that even at this point, especially coming out of the bye week and hoping that we were going to be able to put something together and still haven't, man, that is concerning. And that definitely, you just heard me and Carson talk about it with that last call. That is a problem that could end up biting you. And your point about Washington, they actually had a 1,000-yard rusher. Their running back ran for over 1,000 yards then. So we're actually behind the curve, even in terms of that. And people didn't think they really ran the ball much, which they were one of the top passing teams. They still found ways to run the football. I mean, a lot of pin and pull, a lot of pullers and action like that is, you know, they did things a little bit different with their running game, but nonetheless, they had a 1,000-yard rusher. And I just know, Tommy, I mean, you don't want to be one-dimensional. And I've been saying that for weeks now, and I think you're starting to see it kind of finally catch up to us. Like I said, what happened. So I think that's all that is. And I think that's fair. But you're right. I mean, nonetheless, a win is a win. We're never going to be disappointed in that, but it's just, you know, all right, how does this come up down the road when you're in a tough matchup and you're playing against a team that also has the ability to, you know, put points on the board and you're fighting the battle of being one-dimensional and they've got a good defense. You're not able to have that same success through the air like you did earlier on in the year because of being one-dimensional. That could come back and be an issue. So I think that's where the concern really comes in.
Well, sure, I know it is a concern, but like, you're right, they did. I was going to point out, they did have a 1,000-yard rusher at Washington.
But I'm not, I don't know. I don't know what they rank nationally. Now, I don't know exactly what they rank nationally. I just know individually has success, which I'd imagine if he ran for 1,000 yards, I'd imagine they probably weren't, you know, second to or third to last in their conference and running the ball. I'd have to go back and look. But
no.
Right now we're 14th in the SEC. We're averaging about 112 yards or so a game. And it's not so much about the numbers. It's really just you've got to have that element to your game. I'm just telling you, it takes so much pressure off of Ty Simpson. It opens things up in the passing game. Like, everything else will run so much smoother if we were able to establish that.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, the point I made to the friend, they looked at me crazy. We didn't win the top. We took them out. I think we was on that 44-46. It was 4th and 1, 4.5 yards. I looked at my brother and said, we need to punt the ball. And I said, why? I said, LSU is the 16th worst team in the SEC rushing ball. We want them to drive the length of the field. We don't get it here. We give them a great field position. If they score something, we give them momentum. I mean, a lot of times, like on the opening drive, we go for it. We're on their 40 or something. I said, let's punt. I'm old school. Let them make them drive them 85 and 90 yards. Because much like with our defense, we might get a turnover. Or they might do a 3-and-out. That's how winning the battlefield is. I mean, within the week, nobody had no respect for LSU. Everybody talking about, well, we're going to play Ole Miss down in the Sugar Bowl. We're going to play this team in the playoffs. I'm like, hey, pal, we ain't. I'm not saying it to you like that, but I'm like, hey, Jane, we haven't beat LSU yet. And guess what, Jane? Oklahoma coming to town, and their head coach is a defensive whiz. I hate to say, it's going to be the same type of football game this day. If you're lucky enough to go, you better bring your A-game fan to the team that's going to be in for 12th man. I don't want to sound like Texas A&M, but hey, we need noise. I expect that offensive line for LSU because they made mistakes in fields of time. So,
absolutely. And then that's why I say, man, I mean, it only gets you until you know when it gets you. And again, that's not to sound like, you know, I guess forecasting some negative. No. It's just, you know, I know how football works. And I just understand that in order to be a championship team, you know, I'm not saying you got to be perfect in every category, but there's a few things that are vital, right? And being able to establish that running game, you're going to be huge. Again, could you, you know, match up with these teams and have a shot? Yeah, 100%. You could still, I mean, if you could find ways to make those explosive plays through the air, just like against LSU, if we found a way to connect on some of those deep ones, as bad as the running game looked, it probably would, it would not feel as significant. But I'm telling you right now, at some point, you will face a team that will be able to challenge you a little bit more offensive. Because just let's just call it how it is. The best defensive teams we've played this far, outside of Georgia, I would say, if you look at Missouri, you look at South Carolina, you look at LSU, all those teams that played us really well defensively, the common denominator there is offensively, and I know our defense is playing good, but let's just be honest. Offensively, they were not great teams. LSU was 16th in the conference out of 16 teams running the football. And in their passing game, I'm sorry, but Garrett Nussmeier, man, he's not it right now for those guys. And their offensive line is bad. South Carolina, Lenora Sellers, good player. Their offensive line, bad. Not many skill guys. They couldn't really do much. In Missouri, I mean, you saw their quarterback play. They had a really good running game, but their quarterback, they could not stretch the football down the field. If you get in the playoffs, best believe when you get matched up in the quarterfinals of some of those big games, those teams are going to have really good defenses, but also be able to put points up. And that's what worries me about us being matched up at that point. And at that point, if you lose, you go home. That's why I'm harping on some of these things now, because you probably need to get it corrected now, because once you get in those moments, there's no, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? Like Texas A&M. Right now, the way we're playing, I would be very concerned to be matched up with them. I know it's just SEC championship game. I know I'm jumping ahead, but seeing how they play offense, a dual threat quarterback, a defense that gets after the quarterback that does a really good job, one of the best teams at pass rush in the country. So I'm like, the way we're looking right now, Tommy, it does cause me some concerns, because I know our goal is to win championships. And to do that, you got to get through those types of teams. So that's all I'm saying.
But if we're playing Texas A&M tomorrow and the neutral field, I would say Texas A&M would be favored.
Oh, no, I agree. No, they would be favored.
Yeah, I mean, ain't no doubt. I might make people mad, but I just, no. And the problem on this,
no, they would be favored.
I know they
no,
would.
That's just a fact.
I don't think, I don't feel like we have got the confidence on the offensive line to get a yard.
Yeah.
Oh, fourth down. I mean, to me, it seemed like I'm back ahead of them. I know Zam, Ben Hurt, and other guys are new. It does take time. They got to get their confidence. I mean,
yeah.
And two, we missed some passes. I thought we catched them all. But then the two and three, we talked. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of football. And they're doing their best to work on it. Get behind the team. I know I have concerns. I really got a lot of concerns this week about Oklahoma. Brett Bielema is a... I think I said the wrong coach.
Is
an
offensive coordinator. He's a guru, and he's going to definitely bring an aggressive defense into Tuscaloosa. Excuse me. So it's going to be it's going to be another interesting matchup for sure. Tommy, we appreciate you, man. Thank you for calling.
All right, man. Have a good day. Roll Tide. Talk to you
later. Yes, sir. Roll Tide. We'll see you. All right. Quick timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge Top 100.9.
Performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC. I know we got a number of calls to get to, and I don't want to leave people hanging. So let's try to, I'll try to go a little bit quicker. So we'll try to keep the calls about a few minutes or so. I'll try to give you guys as much time just because I know I talk a lot. I want you guys to have plenty of time, but I also want to make sure we get everybody on here. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Well, what's going on, Christian?
Nothing. Just a very eventful day here on the Miller's Edge, man, but everything's good.
Yeah, had a birthday on Saturday, so I'm glad the basketball team and football team did well for me. My nice. Bulls, Josh Giddey, got crossed up in embarrassing fashion. He hurt his ankle, literally. you got to see that highlight. But yeah, if you get crossed up,
by the way.
Yeah, if you get crossed up, you got to get up and walk it off. You can't get carried off. But
yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing. we get the run game fixed. It ain't getting fixed. It's like asking Nick Cannon to stop having babies. It ain't happening.
Ooh.
You gotta listen. You gotta deal with it. And it shows that, hey, no wonder Jalen Milroe carried the ball a lot last year. He was the best running back. He was the best runner.
It's funny you say that because people that understand football understood that, because that's why it used to drive me nuts when people would be screaming that, he ran the ball. Oh, he kept pulling the ball. I'm like, guys, they're literally telling him and coaching him and calling these plays, and this is why. Because we struggled, even last year, it's the same thing. But at least, you know, with him, you know, getting him on the perimeter, the quarterback design run where there's power, draw, whatever, like, that was your best bet. So now people maybe have a better understanding. So thank you for pointing that out, but go ahead.
Yeah, here's the thing is, like, everybody was mad about that trick play on 4th-and-1. Hey, guys, not you. Little thing called execution. What's his name? Jaden Roberts got blown up and Wilkins Formby whiffed the block. You got to execute at the end of the day. Ryan Williams had a screen pass. Instead of just taking it straight up, he danced and they get the first down. So the coach, everybody wants to fire a coach. They want to fire Coach Cap. They got some young talent offensive line that's promising. But how many offensive line coaches Nick Saban went through at the last years of his career? They want to probably fire Gillespie, but my thing is, what can he do if the running back can't make anybody miss? Maybe it's just a talent and execution issue. Because they had no issue with a 1,200-yard back at Washington. And that Pac-12 was pretty good that year. Maybe I'm resigned to the fact, but I'm happy they're winning games. And it shows me this coaching staff is good, that they're still winning games despite having that big deficiency. Now, will they win a national championship? I doubt it. But, hey, just make the CFP and let the chips fall where they may, just like in the NFL. Just make it. And you see what happens, because it is single elimination on both sides. And my last thing is, now we also saw why Jeremy Bernard scored that touchdown against South Carolina. He didn't go down because Talty kind of shanked that easy kick the other night too.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. As soon as I saw it, I said, I'm going to have to hear from Tia and Ricky, who gave me that whole spiel about, we told you. Doesn't matter if it's, hey, to be fair, look, hey, I'm going to say this. You're right. You know, the following game, he did miss a chip shot, and that probably would have been hindsight's 20/20. Probably was would have been, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily better, but you know what I'm saying. That I get that.
Yeah.
However, if you still go call a head coach stupid for just saying, hey, I want to put the ball in my playmaker's hands, just give him a shot at least, because normally that kick is probably about 90%+, if not more. That's not stupid either. It's really just, you know, whatever you go with. But anyway,
It's playing the odds that, hey, if you go down in 30 seconds, score a touchdown, we're shaking hands. That's how I look at it. But I think the thing, I take the positives from this team. One, you still won by double digits. The defense has gotten better. And these young guys are stepping up. It's John Lee showing why that he was so highly touted. And his length really played. They tried to throw the jump ball. And he knocked it out. He couldn't throw over his head. But the defense has gotten better. And I know people love saying the type of offenses, but they were kind of getting cooked by subpar offenses last year, you know? And I think what that is, that shows this coaching staff knows what they're doing. Will they win a title this year? I doubt it. But I just look at making a playoff. And I think with Ty, right, you're right. He has put a lot on himself. And he has to just say, hey, don't be too hard on yourself, you know. Could be too hard on yourself. You press and you make a mistake. And with Oklahoma this week coming up, Aquinas kept Oklahoma. They haven't run the ball well themselves. John Mateer is the running game, but he's not a dynamic run. He's kind of like a gamer. And Mateer will also throw some balls in the harm's way. I just think the key to that game is just don't turn the ball over. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't turn the ball over. But that's a big game for this offensive line, because I believe our two starting tackles are really guards. And the running backs also have to pass block better. Because, hey, if you can't get yards rushing, you can't also be terrible at pass blocking. You got to pick a struggle here, you know, and, because I say this, Christian, if you can't pass block, might as well put the freshman in because he can't pass block either. At least I might get something running out of this guy. What's separating you?
Yeah.
And I just think that's it. But, hey, I'm happy with the win. I'm happy how Coach DeBoer and company righted the ship after FSU because we've seen teams fall apart and pack it in. We've seen it all season and saw it last week. But, hey, thanks for taking my call. I know you got other people to get to.
Absolutely. Smitty, I appreciate you. Hey, always hitting the nail on the head, bro. We appreciate you, bro. And happy belated birthday again.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Always, bro. Good deal. All right. We're going to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We've got one or two more calls we're going to try to squeeze in here. We'll push a press conference. Hey, it's Talking Tuesday tomorrow anyways. I'm sure other shows might play those, but don't worry. We'll recap it, and maybe we'll just cut up the important parts. But we're going to rock with you guys today. We come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.
For an extra 20% off gifts that are the perfect fit. Select styles. Offer ends November 22nd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we got a whole debate going on in the comment section on our stream at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. Do it every single day that we do the show. Make sure you guys check us out. But it's a whole debate going on about the receivers and kind of the order of the pecking order right now. I'm sure you guys probably saw a tweet from Jalen Hale this week. I know people are talking about that, but we'll save that conversation for tomorrow. We got a Talking Tuesday here on the show. It'll be a great conversation to bring up, talk about the receiver spot and a little bit more about this offense. But let's go back to the phone lines. 205-342-9904 is the number. Up next, we got Carlton. Carlton, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how you doing?
What's up, man? Good. How are you?
Hey, this is my first time calling, but I've been listening for a while, so I wanted to I want to give you my thoughts about the green mouthpieces because I actually understood your tweets, whatever they are these days, right away when you
thank
said,
God.
Yeah. So when you think about it, when I talk about leadership to people, you know, anyone who has achieved great success, pay attention to the details. Right? The big things people see, but when you think about how do you achieve success, it is about who pays the most attention to the details, right? Yep. So going back to that point in time when they were wearing those green mouthpieces, I had a problem with it too, because it showed me that's a distraction. That's a distraction you shouldn't even have, right? It's kind of like, yep. Kind of like these dudes with these playing shorts, you know, these football shorts.
Yep.
I don't get that either. Right, it's a lack of discipline and it's a lack of maturity. That's what it goes back to.
Yeah.
And that's what go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, no, you're spot on. That was what I was just trying to explain to people. But you could just tell the people that got it, and the other ones, I hate to say it, but they would have been those exact players that we would have had issues with trying to get to buy in, because it's crazy how different people view things. Like you said, like you understand with leadership is about small details and it's the broader message. With others, it's like, oh, what does that have to do with going out there and making a tackle? Oh, it has nothing to do with it, but it has everything to do with culture. Just like you say, you're spot on.
Exactly. So let me give you one more perspective. So I'm a veteran. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, right? So when we go through, I appreciate it. When we go through basic training, we strip all things away from hair to clothes, everything, and we build up from the bottom, including our grooming standards, the uniforms we wear, the way that we make our beds, to the way we put our clothes on, to the way we show up, right? And all of that is to build camaraderie and teamwork so that we can trust each other. We can trust mm-hmm. each other with the small things. For instance, if I can't trust you to carry your weapon and keep your weapon safe at all times, then I can't trust you in a foxhole. You know what I mean? So if I can't trust that you, when you're carrying your weapon and that it's not, it's in a safety position, right? as we walk around with it, right? If I can't trust that you are going to keep your eyes on your weapon and not leave it somewhere by itself, if I can't trust you with that, I can't trust you with my life. So when we talk about the military, right, we're talking about how we dress. Everything has to be right. That's why we have inspections, right? Everything has to be right because we need to have the discipline to know how we will perform when times get bad. So I can't trust you when we're practicing, per se, right? I can't trust you when there's real bullets, right, going up, right? I can't trust you then. So when you talk about that, going back to those green mouthpieces, that's what it spoke to me. And if I talk to organizations, it's about these kinds of things, right? It's how do we build a level of discipline, culture, and messaging that we will do the same thing we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it, and we can trust each other that way.
You got me fired up. And Carlos, I'm be honest with you, man. Like that's you hit it on the head, and that's the message we got from Coach Saban, Coach Carlos. You summarized it perfect. And big respect to you. And I grew up right outside Fort Jackson. I got a lot of family that's in the military. So maybe that's why I understand a little bit more, because it kind of comes natural to me. My stepdad was in the military, so I get it. And it's crazy how it all relates, even to this day. I mean, my standard about cleaning my house, doing certain things. I mean, it's how you do one thing is how you do everything. But listening to you say that, I mean, I feel like I was back in the team meeting room with Coach Saban. So maybe we need to, they need to hire you, get you on staff, brother. I mean, you need to, I know you said you talk to folks. Go start talking to these football teams, man. That was great, man.
I appreciate that. Can I get your thoughts real quick on one thing? When I look at the run game right now, I'm wondering, why aren't we going to a zone run scheme to give our DBs a better opportunity to help our offensive line move players, because they obviously don't block man up, right? The way that they've been trying to run. Except the other night they did run one play that was the zone scheme that I noticed, right? And so I'm wondering, I think that might be better, right? Since we're not great runners of the football and our running backs don't have great vision right now. Right? Yeah. Because I think those ones that do are on the bench. What are your thoughts?
That's a great point. I think when you look at it, sometimes it comes down to personnel. I mean, it definitely comes down first and foremost to the coaches and their system, what they like to run, you know, like San Fran. Right, they have a wide zone scheme. You know what I mean? Like that's their bread and butter. So they're going to try to go and they're going to like to have personnel and look for offensive linemen that fit that can do that, can move better. You know what I'm saying? I look at our offensive line and you look at our personnel, we're built more for like a gap scheme just based off the size, the physical nature of the guys we have. I mean, you would expect us with the size to be able to line up and block these guys, you know, mano a mano, do these double teams, but we're not having success. But if you go back and look at Washington, they did a number of stuff. They definitely did a good bit of zone, pin and pull action, stuff that requires guys to move. I think just they think the personnel might be a little bit more fit just because how big we are to do more of those types of runs. But I do agree with what you're saying. Maybe just see what we can come up with, what works. We've got to be able to find something. And that zone, just see if it works. But to answer your question, I think it probably was more so the personnel leaning into kind of what we already had. And I wouldn't be shocked if moving forward, the guys that they're recruiting, the offensive linemen, that they're getting fit a little bit more of that, what you're explaining, more zone-based stuff, because they did do a good bit of that at Washington.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man. Great stuff. That was a damn good call. Thank you, Carlton. I think we have Pat left over. Pat, I'm sorry. If you want to hang on the line, you already know you can do that. And Bob, I'd be glad to take you. We just unfortunately ran out of time. But, man, I love getting calls like that. Not just because he is agreeing with what I was saying, but... You know, a service guy, and he gets it, man. But it makes sense, though. Military background, not trying to compare what we were doing to the military, but just we tried to model that level of discipline. At least that's how I viewed it. So big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to Reed Behind the Glass. All you listeners, man, it's been a fun one. I see we got a great conversation in the comments here. We will carry it over tomorrow, and we'll discuss that and more on the Talking Tuesday, just the Miller's Edge, right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. See you guys tomorrow.